Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to a new episode of Straight Up Drag.
Woo!
Woohoo! As always, I am your host, Homer Martinez, along with my ever so lovely, very good friend, Alex.
Yo, what's up, man? How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic, man. How are you?
I am swell.
Swell?
Swell. I don't know. I'm substituting words.
Hey, you do you. You do you. Alex, it's really good to be back.
It is fantastic. I'm glad we could finally get the schedule to line up here. I was getting nervous.
I was even more nervous. But you know, we made it work, and that's all that counts. And you brought in a very special guest.
Oh yes. So special.
Yeah. I feel like we always say like, "Ooh, so special." And then they go back and listen to the rest of the episodes are like, man, fuck these guys. Like, I thought I was a special one.
Well, speaking of special guests, we forgot to thank Derek for coming out last week. Dude, was a great episode.
It was such a great episode. And everybody kept saying how it was really funny and how they really enjoyed it. And just shout out and thank you. Like, seriously, we had a blast. And
absolutely.
The fact that he has like no filters whatsoever is what made it funny.
It was great. And then he had a lot of insight that I had no idea about, and things that we said off air that I learned that I had to go home and Google search.
Yeah.
And God, did I learn some stuff.
We have a coworker that came up to me and she's like, how do people turn outies into innies and innies into outies? And I felt like I had the talk with her.
Oh man, that's a conversation.
But enough about us, Alex, because we're just a couple of douchebags. Introduce the special one.
Our good friend Matt is joining us tonight. Hi. Matt, how you doing?
I'm doing really well, thank you.
Really well. That's just as good as swell.
Yeah.
So Matt, give us a little bit of background about yourself, why we would bring you out to this show.
Well, I'm another one of the guys that's just kind of in the community that really, really enjoys the popularity that's really come out from this show. I think it's really shed a whole new light on it. Before, I'd never really been that exposed to it, and this has really shed a whole new perspective on this art form and this community or this subculture within my own community, and I've absolutely fallen in love with it.
Doesn't the show really mean a lot in this, I guess, today's generation? Especially, I feel included, and I'm not even part of it.
I think it's absolutely incredible, and you know, huge shout out to RuPaul for actually doing this and launching so many careers on this. And she was actually just named one of Time Magazine's most 100 influential people. So that article came out like today. So,
oh wow! Yeah, I didn't read that article yet.
Huge write up on that. One of Time Magazine's most 100 influential people.
That's amazing.
I can say that.
I totally agree. I would definitely put her up on that list.
Mm-hmm.
For sure. Well, let's talk a little bit about this episode, guys. Okay. Episode cuatro.
Yeah.
For you non-Spanish speaking folks, that is number four.
Yes. Hold on. Yeah, you're right.
Four.
Yeah, four. Yeah.
Four. I don't even speak Spanish. I'm learning. I can count to about five.
I can count all the numbers with one hand.
With one hand. The intro of the episode kicks off, and it's talking about, you know, where the last episode ended, and we all know how that episode ended. And there was a lot of hate for Valentina, man.
Yeah, I mean, we've been talking about how the fact that Valentina is a pretty queen.
Gorgeous.
It's kind of making her journey a bit tougher than the rest, because now they're pointing her out to be like for being too pretty, and how the judges just eat her up, to use Aja's words. But I don't know, man. I mean,
Matt, what do you feel about Valentina?
I feel that if they weren't going for her because she's so pretty and so polished at what she does, they'd be going for her because she's only 10 months into her career.
Yeah.
Because first episode, first walk into the workroom, that's what they were kind of going for her with, was like, you're only in this 10 months. We've been doing this for 5, 10, 25 years. You're in this for 10 months and think you're going to walk onto this competition and be the next thing. They've kind of backed off of that and have seen that, yeah, she's actually a viable player in this, and she's good.
Yeah.
She's very polished. Yeah. Her looks are very well put together. and she can carry her characters.
Mm-hmm. So I thought she did something really good in the beginning, is just her mindset and her ability to deal with the bullshit mm-hmm. of it. You know, like, she shut shit down in a very intelligent, a very controlled way. Mm-hmm. She was very mature about how she was like, you know what, look, just focus on you maybe a little bit mm-hmm. and stop coming at me and maybe you'll succeed one day.
Yeah.
And she read through them and their hate, and she's like, no, I'm just going to right here to the finish line. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I love that. I gained respect for her, as if she needs any more of my respect.
It's funny you mentioned that, because that's exactly what I wrote on my notes. As I was watching the episode, I wrote, Valentina acknowledges that other queens disapprove of her, but she stays focused. She understands who her competition actually is, and she's very analytical of her competition. She's like, the thing with Valentina, and what makes her a very important player in this particular season, is the fact that they're underestimating her, how well she is deconstructing every single one of the other queens, and she's using that to her advantage. I don't think they realize that she's basically reading them, yeah. but keeping it to herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She's saying, okay, well, this particular person is this way, and I'm going to use that to my advantage later.
Yep.
And she's doing that, and you can tell. And in some of the in this last episode, you could very well see that.
Yeah.
You know who she reminds me of a lot?
Who?
Jinx Monsoon.
Ooh, I mm-hmm. think we okay. didn't Derek say that?
Yeah, I think he did.
Somebody
did he?
Said that last week. Yeah. I totally see it too now. So we jump into the challenge. The challenge kicks off. It was morning talk show. Matt, what did you think of this concept?
Good morning, bitches.
Good morning, bitches.
Every morning I walk into work, that's what's on my mind.
Hey!
Good morning, bitches.
What's up, bitches? So We kind of joked about this season in the past episodes of how it's kind of been strange competitions. What are your feelings of this?
I think it's a very, very new idea, but it fits because morning talk shows, they're dominated by females.
Yeah.
It's a very female dominated industry, a very female dominated scene.
Yeah.
But they're done so well.
Mm-hmm.
And to kind of implement that as a drag competition, it's like, okay, let's take some of these folks that are emulating females and are emulating these really big personalities and mm-hmm. these outlandish characters, because a lot of these morning talk shows, like, there's some interesting characters that come through some of those, whether
sure.
host, guests, or, you know, regular appearances. It's an interesting setting to see how they're all going to play out together with each other and individually.
I agree. I mean, I think you nailed it. Typically, what are they called? Magazine shows, morning magazine shows, mm-hmm. or whatever. So, they're catering in. I mean, the demographic statistically is your housewife,
mm-hmm.
and that's why they're heavily. They, you have a bigger participation of. Females of women mm-hmm. in these shows, and to your point, it makes sense that they would make these individuals that are emulating female personalities to actually run a show like that. It kind of hit too close to home, because there's I know a little bit of what goes on behind the scenes in some of these shows, and it was a little bit cringeworthy,
yeah,
to see them just fuck it up.
Yeah. So let's jump in and talk about these fuck ups. So we had two teams. Mm-hmm. We had Good Morning Bitches, mm-hmm. which was great, right? Perfect name. And then we had Team Not Today. Not on today. I apologize. Not on today. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So on Good Morning Bitches, we had the captain as Aja, and she. We had to pick for, so we had a baseball playground game where we pick your team, right?
Yeah.
Did y'all find it hysterical that
picked fucking
Valentina
notes.
As her first pick?
Yeah. It's in my notes. And that was the first thing. I was like, Valentina is Aja's first pick for challenge.
Like, this bitch is so aware of what talent Valentina has, and she just hates to admit it, but she wants to win so bad that she knew. She's like, I got to. And then what I found crazier is the last time they did this pick, Valentina was the last picked, and now no one is chancing this shit on Valentina anymore.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was also like a safe play for Aja because she just came out of a really, really rough previous challenge, and she knew, okay, I've got to play it safe here, so who's going to be my strongest bet? Valentina.
And then her other competition on the captain on the other side was Trinity. So, I mean, those were the two dominant in the first two episodes or so, right? I think she did great with that pick. Second, she had Shay Coulee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that was a great pick.
Yeah.
I mean, adding comedy and then her makeup ability, I think Shay was a perfect pickup, especially surprised that Trinity didn't pick her right away.
Right.
Sasha was next.
Yeah.
Alexis Michelle.
Another good pick.
Yeah.
And then Farrah. I think that team was stacked from the beginning.
Yeah.
It blew my mind that Trinity picked who she picked. So, who she picked? She picked Peppermint first? What the fuck?
I mean, Peppermint's got some talent there. I mean, she's a well-known name in New York, just kind of from different things that I've read. She's a big name in New York, well-known on that scene, has gigs very, very regularly. So I can see why that would be one of her picks.
Just blew my mind with her past track record on the show.
I think what's really killing me, though, is we hear all these really amazing things from some of these queens, and the same thing happened with James Mansfield. They were saying a lot of great things about her, but we didn't see any of that on the screen. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we hear a lot of good stuff, a lot of good things from Peppermint, but we still haven't seen anything that's mind blowing.
Yeah. And then she picked Charlie next, which again, out of all the people that were still left on the bench, like at that point you had Sasha, Alexis, and Farrah that were then picked by, or Nina, Eureka.
Myrika was picked?
Yeah, Myrika was picked. And then you pick Charlie, who, we gotta respect Charlie. Like, she's a great queen, but.
Oh, yeah.
We respect your elders.
Yeah, well, she just. Wow.
You shady bitch.
Yeah, you definitely shady bitch.
Sorry.
But, you know, like, I just don't see the quality of her picks at all.
So I kind of do.
Explain to me why you would have picked Peppermint Charlie. Then we go into Cuckoo.
I'm not going to explain Peppermint at all, but I will explain. I will explain. So Charlie is another one. So as we were going through the entire challenge, it might not have come across, but Charlie was actually looking after Cynthia.
Yeah.
And maybe Cynthia felt like she was overstepping her boundaries, telling her who to be, who not to be, and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. But she was just saying, "Hey, look, you know, I know a little bit about comedy, and I know what works and I know what doesn't work." And we talked about this in previous episodes, how she has that British comedy background to her, mm-hmm. and how she's implementing a little bit of that into her drag persona. So she knows about comedy, and she's in Untucked. She said she wanted to go through this competition in the same way that Bianca did, mm-hmm. and Bianca being another comedy queen.
Yep.
So she knows if you let her be her own on stage, I'm sure that Charlie Heights is going to have the talent and the drive and the stamina to carry on a full monologue on her own, mm-hmm. and have Ed be funny. I can understand that choice that Trinity made. I can understand Cynthia Lee Fontaine as well. I can even understand Eureka, even though she annoyed the shit out of me in that episode. But I can understand Eureka. There are players there that I don't understand, to your point, that when she made those decisions to pick those people, it was like, wait, you have all these other people that you can pick from. Yeah. Why did you go with Peppermint?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, I don't know. I'm hopeful that there's still going to be some more coming out of Peppermint. I haven't completely written her off yet. There's still something about her that makes me think something's coming. We're going to see something from Peppermint.
Yeah. She's not making me want to come. so we...
You are so gross.
You're such a bad boy. So we had Cynthia Lee, Eureka, and Nina picked. Nina was last. No one picked up Nina.
Which really surprises me, because if morning shows are all about entertainment, character, engaging with your audience first thing in the morning, Nina is going to be somebody that will grab your attention.
Oh my God.
The minute she walked into that workroom, I said, whoa, this is something completely different. This is what's going to get your viewers. This is what's going to take you away in sweeps. This is something that will grab your viewers' attention. And she did it not once, but she's done it several times now. Like, her look is pure fantasy based on, like, the bio that's written about her. She does all kinds of different characters, and a lot of it is just fantasy and things that you're not going to see every day, things that you don't expect. That's what's going to seize your viewers' attention, and that's what really sets her apart.
I think you're hitting it right on the head. I couldn't believe Nina wasn't picked. Again, I'm a Nina fan.
You just like her because of her padding.
No, I personally, I'm kind of like the last one. I was like, whoa, I think that's a little too much. But I mean, I just think she's super talented with
she
the makeup and the creativity behind it. Mm-hmm. And she gets picked last. So I was a little like, what the fuck? So they get into the workroom. They start talking to Nina and be like, hey, don't let this get in your feelings. You were picked last. Don't.
And then she fucking kills it.
Yeah, it's like,
because it's. I'm sorry, Matt. I'm sorry. I have. I can. You can tell that I have baggage. If it hadn't been for the entertainment, because that was what their section was called. That was not the section, right? The to-dos, the
DIY.
If it hadn't been for the DIYs on both groups, they would have both tanked.
Mm-hmm.
Because honestly, on Good Morning Bitches, you had Shea Coulee and you had Sasha Velour, and then on Not On Today, you had Nina Bonina and Eureka. Those are four power players right there, and they are the ones that carried the entire challenge, not the counterparts, not the other team members. As much as I love Valentina, as much as I love Cynthia Lee and Charlie Heights, and as much as I love Pheromone, like, neither the hosts or the people that did entertainment, they had nothing going on there. It was
all
about...
You know what I thought was really interesting about both DIY segments? Like, because we saw in Untucked that neither team saw the other's challenge. They never saw the other's actual show or recording or anything like that. But both DIY segments, they took more of like a slapstick comedy approach.
Yeah.
Where it was very just over the top, just ridiculous. And it was very successful for both of them, but neither of them had any idea what the other was doing.
Yeah. Now, what did you think about Trinity grabbing Eureka on her team, Matt?
I think Eureka does have some comedy talent. I think she has to be, just because I think she gets a lot of criticism. One, for where she's from. I mean, she's from a small place in Tennessee. That's not somewhere that we see a lot of these high-profile queens come out of. So
what
she's had to overcome
history
that.
With Trinity.
The history with Trinity.
Wasn't that shocking to you, though?
A little bit, but I also see why she did it, because even though she's had an abrasive relationship, I think that she picked her because she also knew what she was capable of.
Yeah.
And she could use that to her advantage if they were on the same team.
I like that. I think she was smart with it. I personally would have picked Eureka on my team too in this situation.
Oh, yeah. I would have too. She's funny. Like,
she's hysterical.
I don't always like everything she does, but she's funny.
Yeah, funny is what she's got. And then we had in the workroom, we had that Charlie and Cynthia Lee thing going on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you feel some kind of way, Homer.
Well, so this is where I align with Charlie, right? Like, just being controlling of everything.
So you sympathize with Charlie here.
I mean, but and to a certain extent, I think that if you're going to be controlling, also be able to control other people's reactions when you present, when you have your presentation. And at that point, I think that Charlie should have noticed that Cynthia knows what she's doing. Right.
Yeah.
I think because going back to comedy queens, Cynthia Lee Fontaine carries herself as a beauty and comedy queen. There's not an episode so far that she hasn't mentioned her cuckoo. Mm-hmm. And I think this was the one, right?
She hasn't had a line where she hasn't mentioned her cuckoo.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So and it goes back to her being funny and her being like, you know, this lighthearted individual. I totally believe. So I think Charlie should have backed up a little bit on that. And like, you know,
yeah.
Let her be. Let her cuckoo go wild.
I think it. I wonder if it also comes down to where we know that Charlie spends a lot of her time between the U.S. and the U.K. She knows U.S. comedy. She knows British comedy. She knows how to present comedy that's going to reach and connect with a much wider audience. Mm-hmm. Whereas Cynthia's comedy may not reach as wide of an audience. So maybe Charlie was trying to be helpful, but it just wasn't coming across that way. She was trying to help her grow and reach a wider audience, but it just wasn't being received like that.
Yeah.
I was assuming positive intent the entire time.
Oh, of course you were. Dick. So the competition starts, the TV show starts, they start airing. We've got Farrah and Alexis, I think, were the hosts of Team Good Morning Bitches.
Good Morning Bitches.
That wasn't not on today. That was Good Morning Bitches.
Yeah.
Dude, Farrah looked the part. I think Alexis looked the part.
Mm-hmm.
I think
they both looked good for that, for the anchors and the hosts. Like, they looked good for that.
That was the first time I really saw Alexis and was like, damn, you looking good.
Mm-hmm. Really?
I think she killed that role.
Hey, no.
She looked good there. Sure. Yeah. Like, you know, it was definitely one of the better looks that she's had.
Yeah.
But she's had a couple others that have caught my eye and said, she looks really good there.
Yeah. And I think Farrah definitely, that fish fills that role. good.
Oh, yes.
I know you like it.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
I think I even wrote in my notes, kind of Stepford wifey.
Oh, she looked
kind of Stepford wifey. Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then we had, what was it? It was Valentina and Aja that were the, I don't know what the fuck their role was, but it was
entertainment.
Entertainment.
Oh, that was shitty.
Yeah.
I wasn't entertained at all.
Not executed well.
Who do we blame?
Wait. Who, it was
Valentina and Aja.
Valentina and Aja. I don't know, dude. I don't think there's anyone to blame. I think they were dealt lines that were just not funny. I mean, or did they come up with the lines themselves?
I think that they came up with their lines.
Okay, well then, never mind.
It's bad, bro.
It was.
We're not 100% sure on that, though. We don't know if this is like, okay, this is your part, this is the script for your part, execute it, mm-hmm. or this is your part, come up with something, and don't fuck it up. We don't know. We didn't see that.
Don't fuck it up ever.
So, did they both do the same thing? Because I think it was not on today that did the comparison
different things
between the queens and then RuPaul's Drag Race, mm-hmm. a little Instagram with
Instagram
the cats.
Account. Yes,
yeah. No, they had different things, and they did Aja and Valentina did Drag Queens Without Teeth.
Oh yes.
Oh right. Yeah. Okay. See that choice right there is also like.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
If they chose that, then why? If they didn't choose that, then why did the producers give them that?
So the core question comes down to why.
Yeah.
Why? So that's always a fucking question.
Why? And then we had Shay and Sasha.
Those two, Lord Jesus, take the wheel.
Yes.
Like, I could not with those two. It was so funny.
Yes.
I think I wrote for Sasha, I almost peed laughing.
Yeah.
I literally almost peed myself.
I was not expecting that from either of them.
No, neither was I.
So I don't think either of them could have done it individually. And I certainly didn't see them doing that as a pair.
As a pair. Yeah. I think
that was a very odd coupling. But oh my God, was it executed so well. And they just clicked and worked so well together.
But neither of them have this air to them of like, holier than thou. They don't think of themselves as too important or more important than the other. And I think that's why they worked well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're absolutely 100% correct. I agree with you. I didn't see them do it individually, let alone doing it together so well.
Mm-hmm.
So I write my notes live as I'm watching the episode the first time, and I wrote at that scene on Shay's critique and Sasha that they are the winners of this episode.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
as it was happening, and then as it turns out, look who won.
Yeah,
I love being right. It doesn't happen often at home, so every opportunity I get everywhere else, you know.
I was gonna say, I was like, let's call Kira right now. Let's see what's up.
So, on Team Not Today, we had the anchors were Peppermint and Trinity.
Mm-hmm. So that's your problem right there.
Do either one of them know how to really effectively manage or control anything?
My man, from the very beginning, like, they were trying to act out, like, little funny throwing shade at each other. And I was like, no, this is just fucking awkward. Like, it's not working.
Yeah, it was like, what was it? Peppermint tried to do the thing, like, I slept with your husband and here's his business card to prove it. Yeah. Like, this is how we're opening our segment this morning. I was like,
There's, like, no background to it, so it has no context.
Yeah, I was like, that didn't work, honey.
No,
like, it didn't work.
So... They failed. I think what it would have been a better choice is maybe putting Eureka and maybe Cynthia as the host. Cynthia's got the looks for me to be the host. Yeah,
because her look in the entertainment section, mm-hmm. like her look as a morning talk show host, participant, anchor.
Perfect.
So, it was good.
No, I this is where I disagree. I disagree because I'm looking it up to kind of give you a little bit of a perspective.
Because you're a bitch.
Because I'm a bitch. I think Cynthia Lee was perfect in that role. Mm-hmm. And I would have kept her in that role even without Charlie. If anything, I would switch Charlie Heights for Peppermint and have Peppermint aid Cynthia and in Charlie be with Trinity. But in the Hispanic community, mm-hmm. in Univision, there used to be a show where it was a morning show, it was a morning magazine, and it was all about like celebrity gossip and all that good stuff, right? Mm-hmm. There is a hostess, and her name, and those of you that are Latinos out there that know this, her name is Charitín, okay? And this is her right here, and
totally looks like Cynthia.
And her personality is the same. She sounds mm-hmm. just like her. She's just as crazy. She's just as big over the top. And I will play a video for you guys later so you can you can have an idea of what I'm talking about. But basically, Cynthia Lee Fontaine to me reminded me of Charitín from all these Latino shows in Univision that talk about celebrity gossip, and that's exactly what she was doing in the challenge. So I think she was perfect for that, and I think if anything, she was channeling that inner Charitín in her.
Yeah. And then we had let's go into Cynthia and who was it, Charlie, that did their little thing. That god, Charlie was so awkward with timing.
Yeah. On several counts.
Yes.
Throughout the entire broadcast.
Yeah. Do you think it was nervous? Yes.
I think it was nerves. A lot of it was nerves.
It's so weird. I think she should have lost feeling in her nerves by now.
Wow.
Dang!
She may be the oldest contestant on the competition to date.
Where's the wine bottle?
You don't say.
But... she's not there yet.
Okay.
So you may be like, so let me kind of go into this a little bit. Okay. Yeah. I have mad respect for the older queens.
Oh yeah. We've just talked about that
in general, whether they're on the competition or not on the competition. I have mad respect for those that are tenured in the industry and have seen things that we weren't even a thought of.
Yeah.
At that time. Like, things that happened like long before we were born, things that happened long before,
deep,
you know,
in a ball sack at that point.
Or if you were even there yet.
Yeah.
So I really appreciate those, like that subset of the community, because there's so much that they can teach us and there's so much that we can learn from them. Yeah. And so much that they've gone through that we can't even imagine at this point. So
I respect her.
I like Charlie a lot.
Yeah.
Like, I really, really like Charlie.
I agree with you.
He's been defending Charlie all episodes.
And here's here's my stance on this, and I've been very open about this. Typically, it's the older queen that tells a younger queen, how much better they are than them. Okay. And that's where I kind of like, I'm over that. Now, the thing that I've said about Charlie Heights is that she's not like that.
Right.
If anything, she has this mentor-esque side to her.
Mm-hmm.
That and point in case is that little challenge that they had mm-hmm. in the workroom and she was mentoring Cynthia Lee. Yeah. Maybe it didn't work out, but that doesn't mean that she wasn't there for her.
Right.
And that's where I appreciate the older queens. Mm-hmm. I also appreciate drunk queens like Alex, who literally got off the mic to go grab a bottle of wine, which, you know, I don't blame him. It's fine. That's where I stand. So I agree with you, Matt, on that.
Mm-hmm. I think Charlie has this innate desire to see others succeed.
Yeah.
And to really help them like become their fullest potential. I don't see any kind of, I don't get any hint of malice out of Charlie.
I agree.
Especially like, even though she and Cynthia kind of had a couple of bumps in the workroom and their segment on their morning show was not the greatest, I still think a lot of it was rooted in Charlie just wanted to help. She wanted to help Cynthia grow or become better, but it just, maybe the timing wasn't right. Maybe it wasn't the right setting. Maybe there was something else that we will never see or really know about that was going on.
Yeah, I agree. And I actually, she mentioned that at the end when she left, mm-hmm. When she was saying how she wants other older queens to be there and go further than she did.
I was so happy to see her say, like, anybody over 40 should be applying for this competition. And it really, really struck me how she was
only
talking
if they
about
dance.
You are getting on his last nerves.
He still loves me.
Always.
Ooh, yes. Not to cut you off. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. What I was saying was it really kind of really resonated with me how she said, your dreams may not come true overnight, but that doesn't mean that they never will. He's like, I'm in my early 50s and only now am I getting like the chance of a lifetime. Whereas some of these other queens, they're in their early 20s and they're already here and have gotten to where I am. So it was really encouraging to say, for her to hear her say, don't give up. Just because it doesn't happen quickly or overnight doesn't mean that it never will.
Yeah. So then to wrap up this team,
yeah,
we had Eureka and Nina Bonina.
Oh, Nina.
Yes.
Nina and Eureka. They worked well together as well. Mm-hmm. Like that was another really good pairing because you've got a lot of personality between the two of them. And both of those personalities are very loud, over the top, and just everything extra that you can have.
Oh, I loved it.
It had so much potential to fail, but they made it work.
Yeah. Yeah,
God, the slap in the ham in the ass cheek was...
Oh, my God. It's like she's stuffing a fucking ham in those panties. Like,
and then Eureka's eating it. And she's like, ooh, that's good ham. Oh, my God. Those two were great. So they both... We didn't talk about the other team wrapping up their interview, but I think the other team as a whole, it was very natural. It was clear. Good morning, bitches. And then we had Team Not Today, and it was hard to watch.
Yeah. Ooh. I was sad to see them not do well. I think maybe if just like one or two of them hadn't done so well, I wouldn't feel so bad. But to see essentially the entire broadcast go down in a burning tailspin just kind of made me really sad.
Yeah.
I felt bad for them.
So at the end of Not On Today, when they went over the actual a lot of time, Naya Rivera, who was the host, was like, am I done? Like, do I have to start? Like, do I leave? What do I do?
Yeah, like I kind of got the vibe that she was irritated with the whole team. And that kind of, I mean, I get it. Yes, she's a celebrity and, you know, she's used to being treated a certain way. But it was also like, these are folks that are on a competition that don't work in this industry. And a lot of them are doing something like this for the very first time.
Yeah.
So I was kind of surprised to see her, you know, kind of get annoyed so quickly. But at the same time, I can understand why she did. Because it's like, you know, you should at least say thank you, and you know, that's all we had.
Well, yeah, I mean, the first groom had a good sign off.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
And I think that's probably why she was annoyed at the second group, that they were like, oh, they don't have their shit together.
Right.
I was thoroughly shocked at how Charlie had to jump in. What is Trinity doing, dude?
Hold on. So you're talking about the whole. All right, and that's it for today.
Yeah.
With a minute and a half to go, we're still rolling through things. No goodbye, no nothing. We're just going to sit here and smile for a minute and a half. Yeah. Let's imagine we're on this podcast here, and we're just going to sit here and look at each other for a minute and a half.
All right, that's it for today.
Bye. But the thing is, it's like, then it's nothing. We're just going to look at each other. At least when you're on live TV, there's something to look at. Here, yeah. You're either staring at the road in front of you, you're staring at your phone screen, or you're staring on that thing that you're doing for work, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And you're going to forget that we're here.
Imagine poor Matt. Just be like, do I leave? What do I do now? What?
We just kind of close my laptop and walk away, and he's just sitting here like, what?
What? Do I talk about my book now?
So that ended up the challenge. We got to see one team do pretty decent. I would say there was a good one spot. Unfortunately, it was the Aja Valentina little montage. But other than that, I think they did great. And then we saw a team not on today kind of crash and burn everywhere except Nina and Eureka.
Mm-hmm.
We moved into runway, and it was naughty 90s. Not 90s.
You mean we naughty 90s?
We were discussing this before 90s. We went on.
I swear. I think I saw a graphic that said naughty 90 apostrophe S. So I'm just saying.
He was looking
for... It's either that or the Mandela effect in full blast right now.
As someone said earlier, you were looking for grunge.
Oh, yeah, dude. The entire time I'm like, what does this have to do with 90s? I've yet to see a Kurt Cobain lookalike in lingerie.
We've done a 90s thing. It was season 6.
Yeah.
They had we've already done a 90s challenge.
We don't need to do it again. So
we do. We need 90s all the time.
Naughty 90s. Naughty 90s.
I think we'll probably get into this. The runway was so rushed, maybe they rushed Rue just as much, so she didn't really get to articulate it, and they're like, you get one take, go.
Yeah, dude, so, yeah, we move into this, so let's touch base on their workroom real quick before they get onto the runway.
I promise we'll spend more time than they actually did on the episode.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So we're in the workroom, and Valentina calls out Aja, giving great advice to focus on you and not other bitches, and
yeah,
and then she even points out, like, hey, just be kind to everybody.
Yeah,
you know, I was talking to somebody today about this episode, and they brought in a good point to show that RuPaul used to be very catty and a lot of drama, mm-hmm. and a lot of fights, and it wasn't really a sisterhood, right? And now you've got there's such an importance to the community, and they're already alienated from most of society anyway. Mm-hmm. Why are they fighting with each other?
Yeah.
And so I loved this, like, bring everybody together. Let's stop being bitches to each other. Just mind your own shit and let's get along. Let's love each other.
I think a lot of the queens are realizing that this channel and this avenue, and maybe even this show in particular, is giving so many people that are truly alone in mm-hmm. whatever they may be dealing with or whatever experience they may be going through, it's giving them some kind of voice and some kind of hope. And so let's see something positive come out of this rather than the only ray of light that these poor individuals may have being just this awful, petty catfight the whole time.
For real. We don't need to see, like, love and hip-hop shit on here. We just want to see badass queens get down and do some magic shit for us.
I don't know if something like Dance Moms were to come up, like, I would be down. Did you guys ever watch that, by
no.
the way? You guys never watched Dance Moms?
No, I don't.
Are you serious right now?
This is the only reality show I watch.
What it would be. And of course, you're the person I would think that would watch something like that.
Dude, Dance Moms is probably one of the greatest reality shows to ever grace American television.
No. They just know.
Maddie came from Dance Moms.
I'm feeling like I'm going to start getting this like...
Maddie, the little dancer from Sia's video.
I thought you were talking about me for a second and like calling me by the name that others call me, Maddie. I was I've never done such a thing.
No.
I'm going to start getting an Alaska drawl here and just...
Alaska drawl? What is that?
Alaska.
Oh, okay. Again, I thought you were talking about the state. I was like, I lived there for a very long time. What drawl do we have up there? Our mouths are frozen half the year. There's no drawl.
So then Charlie kind of touched on some stuff. He touched on, you know, his history with being through much of the major breakout of HIV and before they even knew what it was.
Yeah.
That really showed to me, like, how important an older queen is.
Mm-hmm. I think that's kind of what I was trying to get at earlier, but maybe I didn't. Maybe I wasn't.
Yeah, no.
No, you did articulate it. Yeah. I was just being shady at that moment. I agree with Alex, though. I think she showed a side of her that we all kind of, like, it was kind of implied because of her age, not to sound mean. It was kind of implied because of her age, but her talking about it so openly, you realize that it's real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, not to spend too much time on the sad stuff, you know, we like happy stuff.
Yeah.
I'm glad we've got a great country here behind that campaign, and there's a lot of good companies doing good things for that. But
we've come a long way in 30 years.
We have. But let's move on to the runway. So, coming out the gate, busting through the front door, you had your bitch, Pheromone.
Here's my thing with Pheromone, okay? Pheromone looked stunning and gorgeous on TV.
Mm-hmm.
She looks even better live.
Mm.
Mm, indeed.
Mm.
Mm.
I'm going to say, my notes say, first time I fell in love with some fish.
So... fun fact, we were just looking at this. It looks like she wore the same thing when she came to Houston.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she totally did.
She
it's the same way, the same bra. Like we compared
everything.
The look on the runway, all
the wig,
like the whole, what was it, 20 seconds that she was on the episode to the photos that you took when she was here and you went to see her.
Yeah.
I don't hate her for it either.
No.
She looked good.
Daddy was happy.
It was like, oh, God, here we go.
So let's not spend too much time talking about your bitch, because
I could spend the entire
her.
Night. Yeah, go for it.
We had Alexis Michelle come out. What'd you think of Alexis?
Okay. I'm glad that they only gave her maybe 15 seconds of airtime for that look.
Holy shit, man.
Well, I'm not kidding. It's like, you know, I like Alexis Michelle, okay?
Okay.
I do. I do like Alexis Michelle. She's got a great personality. She's very... She's very open to the other queens, and she really tries to help balance.
Yeah, but we're not talking about all that shit. We're talking about how she looked.
I know. We're talking about the look. The look was god-awful. It looks like she... I'm not kidding. We were talking about this before the podcast. Mm-hmm. She took my dead grandmother's drapes and made that god-awful cape out of it with those giant flowers on it,
that
color. I think she heard naughty 90s.
I was going to say that. I was like, you know, in her
not
defense, 90s, probably heard
but 90s. 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 If you're, depending on what journalistic style you're using, it's just 90s, no apostrophe.
So we all kind of felt some way. I definitely said that the underwear looks huge. It didn't look right. It came up too big. And who the fuck wears a corset to bed?
Well... depending on what you're doing when you go to bed. Like, not everybody sleeps when they go to bed, Alex.
Well, I know that better than anybody.
Mm-hmm.
we had Aja come out. What'd you think of that outfit, Homer?
Aja's outfit?
Yeah.
I mean... That
fucking makeup.
Can I say something about the makeup?
Yeah. Yes.
I really think she got her makeup tutorials from Miranda Sings. I don't know if you've watched that YouTube channel, but she has makeup tutorials, and she's another one that's just kind of over the top. Like, you know, she's not a drag queen or anything, she's another internet personality that's just very over the top and just ridiculous. But her makeup, especially that lipstick, my God, that lipstick reminds me of Miranda Sings. They could tour together and do shows
together.
Maybe
she should, so she can get off this damn show.
Dang, why are you guys being so fucking shady today?
Look, I'm not. I'm just saying, like,
she's got this attitude that I really am not a fan of, and I'm hoping that people keep checking her like they have been.
Yeah, but you just clocked my homie over here saying that we're not talking about her personality, but rather her makeup. Now, I understand.
Yeah, but that doesn't help how bad her looks have been to me. And the outfit was covering everything. It looked bulky, and there was, like, ropes hanging from the stomach that didn't look good. Mm-hmm. Yeah, didn't look good.
It wasn't good. But, I guess. I feel like I'm trying to give her a chance, though.
Yeah,
like, I think that there's so much.
I want to give her a chance, yeah. But
keep trying.
She has got to check her emotions, though, because right now she is ruled by emotion.
True.
And she's got to get that in check if she's going to have any success in this competition.
Preach. So, Valentina?
Valentina looked very pretty.
Okay, now we're talking your bitch.
Oh, yeah, this is my bitch. I literally in my notes put, show up to my bedroom like that and see what the fuck happens.
Like, she was the one that really got the naughty, and I don't know if it was, like, I think it had something to do with, she showed a lot of skin. That's generally what we receive as naughty.
Yeah.
My eyes are rolling in the back of my head.
Well, you can stay over there and do that. She had the colors right. Black and red is usually very kind of like a voluptuous color, very sensual color combination.
Yep.
And it was, there was a lot of luster to her outfit as well. So it was black, it was red, there was a lot of skin, and there was luster. Like, the lights on the runway, it was shining off of everything.
Yeah.
It's like she had the look.
I agree. I think there were a few, and we're going to get to them in a little bit.
But so, then we had Shea Coulee. I like saying that name.
Mm-hmm. I didn't get naughty from that look. Like, I really didn't.
I put looks hot, but not a nighty. Love the wig.
Yeah, like, it was a good wig.
It was.
But the rest of the outfit, I was like, there's too much here for it to be naughty. Like, you can have a lot of covering and still get naughty. I just didn't get it from that. It was almost like it was too elegant in a way to be naughty. Classy.
And then we had Sasha Velour.
Okay, so Sasha Velour looked great.
She did. She did. Ooh. I think we're still trying to figure out what the deal was with the candlestick that she was holding. But that was an interesting prop that she came out with. I still don't know what
the
purpose of it was or why she chose it to complete her look.
Maybe it's like sensual candlelight, that kind of thing going
Possibly.
On.
Possibly. Maybe they don't allow open flames on the runway.
Probably.
I've got to point out one thing that I don't know if anybody noticed.
What?
She didn't do the same eyebrows that she had been doing in every episode.
The crown unibrow.
I think I did notice that. It was like she's
just
done something
different. They were dark,
here.
But they were normal.
Yeah.
And I was so happy because look, I loved it when she first came out the very first episode and busted through the door and was like, "I'm Sasha Velour," and you saw that. I was like, "Yes, bitch, yes."
Yeah.
But then after doing it every episode so far, I was like, "All right." I thought that was just the thing then. Yeah. But I'm so glad she wasn't gonna just stick to it every single time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if somebody said something to her about it.
Possibly.
But then we had Trinity Taylor.
Okay.
So Trinity Taylor is another one that I think embodied that, like, lacy, sensual, naughty kind of aspect to the runway.
Yeah. And I think that's part of what helped save her, even though she ended up in the bottom, which, I mean, we'll talk about that later. She did end up in the bottom still, but I think her look saved her a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know how
she didn't get as harsh of a criticism.
Well, she was probably in the bottom, not because of the look alone. There was a lot of factors.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean.
Then we had Trinity, or not Trinity, Peppermint.
What was with whatever was going on on her ass. Like,
it looked like a poopy diaper.
Yeah. It was like, there's something there. It was like, am I seeing a seam? Am I seeing a thread? Am I seeing something that is, oh my God, this is a disaster?
It was a disaster.
Seeing something that you shouldn't have seen.
It was bad. It was bad. Just bad. Horrible.
And I think the rest of the contestants would agree with that sentiment. Like, the look was just not good for this category.
I agree. And then we had Charlie Hides.
Charlie Hides, again, I'm gonna defend Charlie. I'm going to speak highly of Charlie.
I loved it.
It was really good. It was classy.
I'm going to continue saying this because I've said this to a lot of people already. And I think I mentioned this in the past episode. She is the embodiment of a self-fulfilled prophecy. No one gave her crap about her age. We as fans have been, like, in fact, saying great things about the fact that she's an older queen and she's able to stay fresh. She looks fresh in every single episode. Mm-hmm. Her makeup is amazing. Yep. Her choices in the runway are great. Her wigs make her look even younger. Mm-hmm. And she still had that she was self-conscious about her age. And ultimately, she ended up in the bottom and she went home because she wouldn't want to work at it.
Like, I think her age was her own internal saboteur. We've heard Rue talk about this in previous seasons. Like,
yeah,
you've got to overcome your internal saboteur. And I think her age was, and her apprehension towards it, or her self-consciousness about her age was her saboteur.
Yeah. Then we had Cynthia Lee Fontaine.
Miss Coco.
We were reviewing this, and it just happened, quote unquote, to pause it right on her cuckoo.
Well, the shit was going 100 miles an hour. Like, what the fuck? I hit pause, and it was just right on her ass. But, I mean, I'm not going to say it looks good. but as far as the outfit, that shit looked like she bought it from Spencer's or a sex shop or some shit. Like, it looked bad.
What was with those angel wings? It was like, I was trying to understand what this was. I was like, was this like the angel of sex? Is this like good versus bad? Like, what's going on here?
Probably, actually, now that you mention it, because her corset was black.
Yes, and the wings were white.
Were white, so maybe it's like a juxtaposition.
Right, maybe. I don't know. I don't know. She still looked okay, but it was not my favorite look.
No. She's going to have to step it up if she wants to keep going.
I agree.
Eureka came out next.
Yeah, and she actually had... I got naughty from that look. I was like, here's a bitch that is in charge, and she's going to beat your ass with that whip.
I thought Dominatrix, but I wasn't happy with the overall
look. Yeah, I think even Michelle Visage said Dominatrix.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I didn't care for it.
Yeah. I mean, again, not my favorite, but at least she embodied the challenge or the category. It was naughty.
Yeah.
She got that. She really brought that look where a lot of the other queens missed it.
I will say her makeup was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She's always good with the makeup.
Yeah.
Next, speaking of makeup, we had Nina Bonina. Last but not least.
The zombie with the padding.
Oh my God, those pads.
Zombie hooker.
4 days.
She was a zombie hooker.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we were talking about how she looked like a Mortal Kombat character.
Yeah.
It was just totally does. Overemphasized pads and other things in other places.
It was hot, but I don't know if it was nighty.
Yeah. It was different, and I think in when we will kind of get into Untucked, I think, but a lot of the queens kind of, some of them tried to clock her for that, and they were like, no, we don't want to clock her for being different, like we want to embrace difference. She took this category and really did something different with it, and I think this was a good move for her, because look at what we're doing right now is making us stop and think about it, and making us stop to talk about her. And keeping her front of mind.
Yep. So, our favorite section of every week, our tops and our
bottom. Why are you having me say bottom?
I don't know. I just wanted you to be the bottom.
He pointed the wrong direction.
Girl.
Hey.
Yes, bitch.
I'll drink to that.
All right.
It was so, we had our top three every week and our bottom three every week, and we elaborate pretty much just one of them each and talk about why. Matt, would you like to kick off your top three?
Definitely Valentina.
Valentina.
Like, she did very, very well. Okay. And then I would say my other two were the two that actually won the challenge.
Yep. Say and Sasha.
Sasha Velour and Shea Coulee. They did so well. Like, they're
reading my screen.
I'm not. No, like, they were the two that won the challenge, and they were the ones that were the most memorable. I would say two close runner-ups would be Eureka and Nina Bonina, just because I remembered them from the challenge and from their talk show. They were funny. Mm-hmm. It's like comedy is what sticks in my head. Like, if you make me laugh, I'm going to remember you.
Top three.
My top three. Okay, so at the very top, Sasha Velour.
Okay.
Because she did really well in the challenge, and she looked amazing in the runway.
Yeah.
Second, I...
Love those tassels.
Yeah. second is Pheromone. Because I think she did, again, she did really well with her part in the challenge. And again, I love that outfit. And my third top is Valentina.
Yeah. So my top three, Valentina, Shay, and Sasha. I don't need to explain much because we all obviously pretty much can agree here.
Yeah.
They killed that shit. Shay and Sasha just looked great this episode. They did great in the episode. And Valentina, I, for a straight man, want some of that more than anything. I can't stop it. So let's kick it into our bottoms. Homer, you want to lead this one off?
Okay, so bottoms are definitely Peppermint, Trinity, and don't take this the wrong way, but Charlie.
See, I just don't put, you know, whatever. I'll let you have your opinions.
well, Peppermint and Trinity because of that fuck up. With the challenge, and Charlie Heights with the same thing. Like, I think Charlie Heights had the potential to be so, like, to go so far, but she just sabotaged herself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had Peppermint, Aja, and Trinity. I think Peppermint should have been the one to go this episode. I don't know how Charlie was that person.
Yeah.
I think it should have been Peppermint and Charlie both on the floor, maybe, if anything. I don't think Trinity deserved to be in the bottom two, but I do have her in my bottom.
Yeah.
And Aja, just because everything was fucked.
Yeah.
Everything was fucked this whole episode. Mm-hmm. Again, I'm just not as big. I'm not sold on Aja right now.
Yeah.
What you got in your bottoms?
It's like, I would just say definitely Peppermint. You know, as much as I... You know, Peppermint's got personality, and I think that there's still, like I talked about earlier, there's still more that I think is coming from Peppermint that we're not seeing yet, that maybe she's holding back until later on. Yeah. But her challenge was bad. Like, you know, the way she opened the show with, you know, the reveal of the affair, and it just did not land. That was awful.
Mm-hmm.
And then her look on the runway, not good. Okay, Charlie and Aja, while they didn't do well in the challenge, their looks on the runway I liked.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, like their looks were good. So it's hard for me to decide between Trinity and Charlie.
Yeah.
But I definitely would have had Peppermint in the bottom.
Yeah. I don't know what the fuck happened. Like,
yeah,
it didn't make sense to me.
The other thing that made me really, really sad about it was that, yes, Charlie ended up in the bottom, and we hear her say in later on in Untucked that she knows that if she ends up in the bottom, she's going to go home.
Yeah.
Because she's not a lip sync queen.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I get that. But at the same time, it's like,
it's
this
competition,
is,
bitch.
This is season 9. You know you're going to lip sync. And she was hoping to kind of be like Bianca, where
you can't bank on that.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, was Bianca betting on that the whole time? We don't know. Like, Bianca was definitely talented. She's my favorite out of all queens, all seasons. Like, Bianca Del Rio is my absolute favorite. She never lip-synced the entire competition. She went all the way to the crown without anything like that. So maybe Charlie was kind of hoping for the same thing.
can't bank on shit like that.
Yeah, though. Yeah. So I think you should have been, you should have gotten yourself comfortable with lip syncing if you're not a lip syncing queen. But at the same time, to see her on stage, it was like she wasn't even trying. But then the more I think about it, it's like maybe that was trying for her.
Yeah.
And it's just not what we're used to, so we judge it as she didn't even try.
Yeah. Well, I have some shit to say about this whole episode as a whole. We've all kind of had some feelings about it, but I think it was my least favorite production in all the episodes. I don't blame the queens for this at all.
Yeah.
I think the queens did great this episode. Mm-hmm. I would say that whoever was producing this episode, though, there was no balance in the workroom footage. If you noticed...
I agree.
It was only Team Not Today that got put on workroom, where Team Good Morning Bitches didn't get anything until they got on camera.
The whole episode felt weird.
It did.
It was probably because, I think to your point, Alex, we're seeing a group of queens that are not fighting with each other so much. So when there's a little bit of an argument, in this case between Eureka and Trinity, let's bank on, like, let's just exploit that as much as we possibly can. And I mean, honestly, that's what TV is anyway. Like, that's what reality TV is at the end of the day. Yeah, there's a big side behind that, but at the same time, I mean, like, that's probably why there was so much of a focus on that particular team and not Good Morning Bitches.
And then something we've all joked about today is just, how fast did that runway go?
Oh my God. I was like, this is what I love to come to this show every week for, is that runway. You've got the lights, you've got the camera, you've got the gowns, you've got the queens, you've got the judges. You have everything
all,
there.
All and the you're, puns and all that yes. missing.
I was like, and you're going to give that less than 2 minutes of airtime?
Oh, it was ridiculous.
Come on.
That made me really mad.
Yeah.
And then having to sit here to do this, having to pause on each queen to be able to talk about it.
Just to get a glimpse of their look. It's like there wasn't enough airtime for each queen to even really see their look. No,
luckily, we have the ability to pause.
I know. I mean,
otherwise, imagine, I'd be pissed.
Imagine if we were airing this like 10 years ago before pausing TV was a thing.
I'd cry.
Yeah.
So I just want to ask these producers, why was this so rushed? Please email us and let us know. I'd like to know. I demand answers, damn it. That is RuPaul, I'm sorry, straightupdrag@gmail.com. Please,
<This dude. laughs>
please send me a message. And then we get into Untucked.
Okay, go ahead. You lead it, my friend.
All right. You know, Alexis came out of the door off the stage. She said something that I kind of thought was ironic, is this has been our opinion of Alexis in the few past episodes, but she said being safe is a scary space because you don't know if you're doing well or if you're forgettable.
That was a very, very poignant quote, I think, for this competition, this show in particular.
And we're going back to Alexis Michelle's personality of being that mentor, though, as well, because she's another one that I see wanting to mentor these queens. Mm-hmm. And when she says shit like that, you're like, fuck yeah. Like, when was the last time we actually thought about that from their perspective?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like, maybe it almost makes me think, like, are you spending too much time trying to help those around you that you neglect yourself?
Yeah,
like you're giving more to others than you're taking for yourself, or are you kind of just making yourself memorable through your mentorship and support of others? Like, you've got to make sure that you take enough time for yourself as well, because at the end of the day, this is still a competition.
And I think she falls in the kind of forgetful category a few times.
Sometimes she does. She does. As much as I like her, as much as I like some of her looks, sometimes she's just forgettable.
Yeah. And then they all sit down in the room and they talk about, they all thank Aja for picking the team. Mm-hmm. I think Aja did great. I think she picked a great team.
Mm-hmm. She did.
I think she sacrificed her ego a lot.
Yeah.
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 And she made good decisions. And I think she started talking kind of personal about her makeup decisions. And Derek,
that really hit me a lot.
It was good.
Like, I was like, because that was one of the first things I noticed, was that this makeup is rough and it doesn't look very well put together. But then she shared her story, and I had never vocalized this thought or opinion until she shared it in Untucked. Was like, there's probably something very personal going on, and something that she's very sensitive to.
You know what I thought was, I don't know if you listened to our last episode with Derek yet, but Derek called this out before this happened.
Yeah.
He straight up said, you know, not throwing shade or anything, but she's got a lot of scars, and I think she's trying to cover her face.
Well, it was refreshing to see someone own up to what others might consider a flaw, and she's turning it around, and she's like, you know what? This is who I am. And honestly, that was part of her, that was part of her issue with Valentina. The fact that, and she said it in the show, she's so pretty, and here I am trying to cover up some of my flaws just to seem pretty for the judges. Like, you know, it we tend to forget how big of a struggle it can be for an individual like that.
This week, there's been a couple of quotes that have really resonated with me, and one of them came from Aja in Untucked, where she said, "Beauty has no identity." And then the other one comes from RuPaul. Like, it was on Time Magazine's Twitter feed. There was a quick, short little interview with RuPaul where she said, "We are shapeshifters. We take things and we change them." It's like, and so those two things kind of going hand in hand with each other. It was kind of funny that both of those came out this week. Is that beauty has no identity, and we as drag performers are shapeshifters.
Wow. That's intense.
Yeah.
And so I think, what was next here? We had, Valentina. She's just fucking sweet as hell. She keeps showing me how sweet she is. I just love that girl.
And she's very level-headed.
Yeah.
She can teach a thing or two to some of the other queens when it comes to like controlling herself.
It's kind of surprising for how young she is, because a lot of times you find that the younger queens are a lot more, I don't want to say dramatic, but they're a lot quicker to kind of, you know, jump to conclusions or fly off the handle or kind of have that emotional reaction that's just driven by emotion in the moment. Whereas Valentina is very level-headed.
Yeah.
And kind of looks at things from an objective lens.
Yeah, and we talked on that earlier. You know, another thing I thought was strange is Trinity, immediately when she gets in the back, she was like, "I just want to clarify why I picked Charlie."
She jumped on the defense.
Dude, I totally think that was bullshit. I think she was being incredibly dishonest, and she truly thought Charlie deserved to go. And she just wanted to look sweet in like, "Oh, well, no, you know, it was clear who it was. I didn't," and it was just bullshit. It just seemed very disingenuous, and it was upsetting to me to see her try and immediately just jump into that and be like, "Oh, please, I'll tell you why I picked you, Charlie." No one was asking.
Yeah.
Shut up.
Yeah. It's like she came in and immediately felt that she had to defend herself, and I was like, that's... Like, I'm sorry you feel that you have to do that. Like, you walk in, you walk into a setting and immediately start defending why you did what you did. Nobody, like, did anybody ask? Like, you know, why did you do what you do?
It's
like,
no one asked.
She just assumed that everybody was like, "Okay, why did you do what you do?" Or, "Why did this happen?"
When you start acting way too defensive, that's when you let others kind of figure out what your plan was all along.
Yeah.
And, you know, she fucked up there.
Yeah, she handed him her cards. Yeah. For sure. And then we got to see the Trinity fiasco with Eureka.
God, I don't think that's ever going to end, though.
No, I don't either.
Just like my joke.
Well, you know what? After all of it, the resolution was people were actually seeing how uptight Trinity was. Mm-hmm. And they all started talking to her about it. And were like, "Yo, Trinity, like, we get it. It's you. But you need to chill a little bit."
Yeah. Trinity definitely needs to chill. Eureka, though, needs to act more like an adult and less like a child.
Yeah.
She was acting like a child the entire... During the episode and during
Untucked.
Yeah, with
Sasha.
Mm-hmm. With Sasha, with Trinity, with the rest of the team. Like, it was just bad.
I feel both Eureka and Trinity, both of them need to just calm it down a bit. There's some very strong opinions there, some very maybe type A personalities from both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Both of them need to just kind of rein it in a bit and check themselves before they completely wreck themselves.
Hey.
And then it kind of wraps up with Charlie leaving. Bye, Charlie.
I was sad to see Charlie go.
It was sad, but yeah. I got to say I lost a little bit of respect at the end of it.
Okay. Can you elaborate on that?
She just it felt like she just gave up.
I was really sad to see that. I think I kind of touched on that earlier. Yeah. I was really sad to see, and maybe that was her trying. Maybe that was her honest to God trying. We don't know
she
what else may be going on.
She didn't even move.
I noticed that as well.
She didn't even move, and she even said, if I get up there, I'm just not really going to do anything.
I know I'm going home. It's almost she'd written herself off before she even was on the runway lip syncing for her life.
It was upsetting. And it just, to me, if I were another queen like Kimora, I know James Manfield would have had no chance. But if I was like Kimora, I would be kind of pissed if I got home and I saw this episode and was just like,
well, the thing
I would have fought my ass off for that.
If you watch Untucked, I saw something that I've never seen before in this competition, in all 9 seasons that this competition has aired, where the other queens that were waiting at the end of the stage, they were cheering her on and encouraging her, saying, come on, Charlie, let's go,
yes,
Charlie.
Yes.
I have never, ever seen that ever before in any lip sync in all 9 seasons.
Yeah.
So one that really stood out to me was wow, this is really something that's happening where there's a queen that's not trying and the queens are rooting for somebody in this lip sync.
I don't know if they were rooting, but they were just come on, fucking move.
Yeah, try, go for it.
Let's say for argument's sake that it does happen, right? In every episode, we just don't hear it. Mm-hmm. The producers made it a point this time around, not just to raise the volume on the fact that they were saying, come on, Charlie, let's go, Charlie. But they even gave you subtitles.
Yeah.
And they said, look, they're cheering for her and she's really not moving.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was saddening. Well,
and I also kind of thought about maybe for the folks that are kind of editing this episode, when they were in Untucked, they kind of have the almost the grayscale effect the lip sync, and they kind of have it in slow motion. To really see the contrast between Trinity's performance and Charlie's performance
wasn't
a lot for those editors to work with because Charlie just didn't move. And that
Trinity
made me so sad
out.
To see that.
And she didn't move.
Yeah.
I mean, I honestly don't know how anybody can compete with Trinity on that stage.
Mm-hmm.
Trinity is just amazing to watch.
Yeah.
So I know even if Charlie was going at it, it would have been a hard fight.
Yeah.
But it was just, to me, you don't quit until the fat lady sings, and Eureka was not singing.
Oh, my God.
This dude.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I'm being an asshole.
Trinity was not, Eureka was not
being an
asshole. Singing. So.
No, but it was saddening.
Yeah. I was just really sad to see somebody go out like that, but she kind of prefaced it. It was if I end up in the bottom two where I am lip syncing, I know I'm going home because that is not something I do. But still, it made me sad to see that, and again, I'm gonna play devil's advocate. Maybe that was her honestly trying.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Fuck it. I just finished my second glass of wine, and I think that's the end of our episode. So I just wanted to thank you, Matt, for joining us.
Of course, thank you for having me.
Oh, it was a pleasure, and I'm glad you came out last minute. We all kind of panicked with scheduling this week and trying to make sure that we could get this episode done.
I'm happy to come out anytime you need me.
Oh, you can come out to me anytime.
I didn't need to come out to you, Alex.
Oh, that's true. I'll keep going. So I wanted to thank everybody for listening and supporting us. We've got a lot of good feedback from you guys, and I hope that we are working on everything that you ask. And if there's anything else you would like us to do in the episode, please reach out to us, comment on our pages, shoot us an email, talk to us in person. We are one of the people. And so again, you can find us on Apple Podcast, on SoundCloud, It looks like on Twitter now and Facebook.
Facebook. So yeah, I was just working on that. Facebook and Twitter. Just look up Straight Up Drag. So on Twitter at Straight Up Drag, obviously, and on Facebook is Straight Up Drag. It's really, really. There's it. You won't get lost.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to find us. Apple Podcasts, Straight Up Drag, SoundCloud, Straight Up Drag. Don't know what else to tell you. I wanted to thank all you guys for coming out. It has been a lovely evening over here. Again, my name is Alex.
Homer.
And we had Matt.
Yeah, I was happy to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Thank you, guys. Y'all have a great evening, day, morning, whatever it is that you're listening to us on. It has been a fantastic episode. Catch us next week on Straight Up Drag. Hey! Bye!